All today.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show. You take control of the airwaves toll free at 800-259-9231. That's the packet, 8.net toll free line for you. And it's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
Let's turn Julia's microphone on. Try that again, Julia.
And Julia.
Hi. All right. 800-259-9231. We're doing a talk show tonight.
We're going to give it our best shot, at least.
And you can call in and talk about whatever you want. That's why we call the show Free Talk Live. Once again, that packet, 8.net toll-free line, 800-259-9231. Lots to talk about here. I'm going to do my best to catch up on some emails. I've slowly and quietly been trying to do that all week long.
I got a couple for you, too.
And so that'll be good. We're going to start things out by talking about one of my favorite plants, marijuana.
I know what that is.
Yes. Marijuana. Lester Grinspoon reporting for the Boston Globe that a new study reveals in the journal Neurology being hailed as unassailable proof that marijuana is a valuable medicine. Now, we've already had a few studies over the past year or two. In fact, I believe there was one recently as well that was pretty darn solid towards pointing to the fact that marijuana can actually help people. You know how all these people in wheelchairs with MS and AIDS and cancer over the years have been claiming that marijuana helps them?
You know, these irresponsible people, marijuana helps them. Pooh-shah.
Well, as it turns out, according to Neurology, it's a sad commentary on the state of modern medicine and U.S. drug policy that we still need proof of something that medicine has known for 5,000 years. The study from the University of California at San Francisco found that smoked marijuana to be effective at relieving the extreme pain of a debilitating condition known as peripheral neuropathy. It was a study of HIV patients, but a similar type of pain caused by damage to nerves afflicts people with many other illnesses, including diabetes and multiple sclerosis. Neuropathic pain is notoriously resistant to treatment with conventional pain drugs. Even powerful and addictive narcotics like morphine and OxyContin provide, they call it hillbilly heroin, that's what Rush Limbaugh's drug of choice is, often provide little
relief. Are you calling
relief.
Rush Limbaugh a hillbilly?
No.
Okay.
They often provide little relief. This study leaves no doubt that marijuana can safely ease this type of pain. As all marijuana research in the United States must be, the new study was conducted with government-supplied marijuana of notoriously poor quality. So it probably even underestimated the potential benefit. This is all good news, but it shouldn't be news at all. In the 40-odd years that I've been studying the medicinal uses of marijuana, I've learned that the recorded history of this medicine goes back to ancient times, and that in the 19th century it became a well-established Western medicine whose versatility and safety were unquestioned. From 1840, speaking of safety, and he might touch on this, but I saw a chart recently of the various different illegal drugs, and I believe they actually included alcohol and tobacco on there as well. But the chart listed the people who died over a year's period of time from taking those particular drugs. It was just a neat chart because they started with the highest number. I think it was heroin or something like that. And then they went down the list. And marijuana was down at the bottom with zero because you just don't die from smoking pot.
No, not from smoking pot. You know, there's probably somebody out there somewhere who was either, killed in a car wreck while stoned or killed somebody in a car wreck while stoned. And
sure.
I guess you could, if you wanted to be liberal with the numbers, you could use those.
That wouldn't really be accurate, though. As far as deaths attributed directly from the usage
right.
of these drugs.
Because heroin, it'll stop your heart, you know, whereas marijuana, not so much.
From 1840 to 1900, American and European medical journals published over 100 papers on the therapeutic uses of marijuana, also known as cannabis. Of course, our knowledge has advanced greatly over the years. Scientists have identified over 60 unique constituents in marijuana called cannabinoids, and we've learned much about how they work. We've also learned that our own bodies produce similar chemicals called endocannabinoids. The mountain of accumulated anecdotal evidence that pointed the way to the present and other clinical studies also strongly suggests there are a number of other devastating disorders and symptoms for which marijuana has been used for centuries. They deserve the same kind of careful, methodologically sound research. While few such studies have so far been completed, all have lent weight to what medicine already knew, but had largely forgotten or ignored, that marijuana is effective at relieving nausea and vomiting, which is why AIDS patients and cancer patients use marijuana, because the prescription drugs they are supposed to take are very, very toxic in their system, and it makes them want to puke after they take it.
Mm-hmm.
So they smoke marijuana to keep the pills down, so they can actually get the benefit from those pills. Because if you're puking up the pills 10 minutes after you take them, they're not doing you any good.
Now, there have been many scientific studies on marijuana that have shown that it does help people, and there's even been real live double blind scientific tests that prove that marijuana helps people. But even if it didn't help people, even if they just felt like they were helped, should we stop them? I mean, when I was little, my grandmother used to rub aloe plant on my sunburns. Mm-hmm. You know, I lived in Florida. I went out and you know, a child's sensitive skin, they have a tendency to get sunburns, and I'd go out
sure.
and get sunburned now and then. And when I did, she'd rub aloe on it. It made it cooler, and it felt better, but there was always those little prickly things on it that bothered me. Anyway,
I don't think they have that anymore.
Aloe plants? The prickly
Yeah, the aloe stuff you buy in the store, it doesn't have the prickly.
Well,
no.
That's aloe vera, a gel. It's not. He's talking about the aloe plant.
The real deal.
She
snapped open the plant and actually rubbed it on.
Absolutely. She grew it for just such purposes. And should she not be allowed to use this plant? I mean, that's essentially what we're doing here.
Yeah, we're telling people you can't use a plant that grows naturally within the earth.
For medicinal purposes.
It's really nuts.
And then, what if she wanted to use the plant, just felt like rubbing it on her skin if she didn't have a sunburn? Should we stop her from doing that?
No.
No. It's just silly. This is a plant, people.
We shouldn't stop her from putting it up her butt if that's what she wants to do. I mean, it's her business.
Talking about my grandmother here.
Marijuana, she's dead. Come on. Marijuana is effective at relieving nausea and vomiting, spasticity. And that's I'm not trying to be rude. That's an effective way to take chemicals.
It's not aloe plant.
No. Giving you an example.
Sticking leaves up there.
Marijuana is effective at relieving nausea and vomiting, spasticity,
you can if you want.
Appetite loss, certain types of pain, and other debilitating symptoms. And it's extraordinarily safe. Safer than most medicines prescribed every day. If marijuana were a new discovery rather than a well-known substance carrying cultural and political baggage, it might be hailed as a wonder drug. The pharmaceutical industry is scrambling to isolate cannabinoids and synthesize analogs and to package them in non-smokable forms. In time, companies will almost certainly come up with products and delivery systems that are more useful and less expensive than herbal marijuana. However, the analogs they've produced so far are more expensive than herbal marijuana, and none has shown any improvement over the plant nature gave us to take orally or to smoke. I might add that there's also the vaporization option, which eliminates the smoking of marijuana. It eliminates all the carbon. It eliminates all the nasty little side effects you get from the combustion process.
Mm-hmm.
And I think up in Canada, vaporization has become very popular, considering Canada's sort of... It's a lot more kind, the government of Canada, more kind towards marijuana than than the U.S. government. And so the vaporization thing's really caught on up there.
The vaporization, essentially, it doesn't burn the marijuana. It just sort of...
Correct.
It makes it hot enough that the THC kind of lifts off.
Yeah, and then, like boiling a pot of water, you get vapor coming off of it.
Right.
The same thing here. You're essentially boiling the chemicals right out of the plant.
Okay.
That's what's going on. We live in an anti-smoking environment, but as a method of delivering certain medicinal compounds, smoking marijuana has real advantages. The effect is almost instantaneous, allowing the patient, who is, after all, the best judge, to fine-tune his or her dose to get the needed relief without intoxication. Smoked marijuana has never been demonstrated to have serious pulmonary consequences, but in any case, the technology to inhale these cannabinoids without smoking marijuana already exists as vaporizers that allow for smoke-free inhalation. Hopefully the UCSF study will add to the pressure on the U.S. government to rethink its irrational ban on the medicinal use of marijuana and its destructive attacks on patients and caregivers in states that have chosen to allow such use. Rather than admit that they've been mistaken all these years, federal officials can cite important new data and start revamping outdated and destructive policies. The new Congress could go far in establishing its bona fides and both reasonable and compassionate... that it is both reasonable and compassionate by immediately moving on this issue, which I don't expect they'll do. Such legislation would bring much-needed relief to millions of Americans suffering from cancer, AIDS, multiple sclerosis, arthritis, and other debilitating illnesses. So, you either care about people who are hurting, and you want them to have access to whatever works for them, or you're a heartless jerk What are you? 800-259-9231. This is your show. It's Free Talk Live. DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronic, photo, cell phone, office product, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supply, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
The United States seems to be celebrating over its triumph of reducing government debt. But the truth be told, public and private debt increased to a record high in 1999, reaching a peak of $14.8 trillion, marking 10.57% annual increase, outpacing its previous 10 years. The U.S. economy receives its currency by taking on debt through private banking institution called the Federal Reserve System. In the year 2000, debt growth collapsed to only 4.5%. It's bad enough that the U.S. citizens is bound by debt in order to have commerce. However, shocking the economy with a reduction of this magnitude could wipe out years of growth in a stock portfolio. Before you make your next investment decision, get the cold hard facts. Call 1-800-686-2237 for your free report on the outstanding level of public and private debt. You must understand how recession and depression are driven by outstanding debt. Call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Hello?
Hey, it's me. I got something, man, I want you to look at.
What? What is it now?
It's called OneYearToRetire.net. When you get home, I want you to go to OneYearToRetire.net.
Come on, you gotta be kidding. 1 year to retire. When are you going to get it through your head that there is no quick fix, no free lunch?
I know. I agree with you. This isn't like that. It's an ingenious system that's designed to help you retire in 1 year. I was skeptical, too, but the system is free, and when I looked at it, I was sure it would work. What have you got to lose? It's free.
Well?
All you have to do is go to OneYearToRetire.net and get a free system. It only takes a minute. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Go to OneYearToRetire.net. That's OneYearToRetire.net. Or call 888-200-0265. That's 888-200-0265.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer, and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning, and the poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now, it's cancer's turn to die with LaceMed Inc.'s patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267 or visit www.lasemedinc.com. Call 702-953-0267.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live, your show. You bring up what you want toll-free, 800-259-9231. The packet 8.net toll-free line for you. You can join us online at freetalklive.com, where all the features are totally free, including updates. You get signed up, we clue you in whenever there's something fresh to announce about the show. The updates list is available for you at updates.freetalklive.com, so get on it. That's updates.freetalklive.com. It is Ian here with you.
And Julia.
And Martin.
And again, join us online, freetalklive.com. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by the Free State Project, your only choice for more personal freedom and smaller, less intrusive government. To learn more about joining the Second American Revolution, go to freestateproject.org. That's freestateproject.org. Now, we were talking a moment ago about Lester Grinspoon wrote up a nice little article about medical marijuana and talking about how more and more evidence continues to come out, albeit slowly. And the reason why it's slowly is because, well, the federal government almost completely refuses to allow testing to be done on it. But they did actually allow some testing to be done, even though it was done on lousy government-grown ditch weed. They still found out that this stuff actually has some effect, that this drug actually helps people. Not only does it help people keep their pills down for AIDS and cancer patients, but it also helps people with extreme neuropathic pain. And so, again, the evidence continues to mount, and appropriately enough, we continue to see more states around the country moving in the direction towards medical marijuana. I saw an article today, Drug Reform Coordination Network, pointing out, I believe it's Minnesota. There's another one of the Midwestern states that may be going soon to medical marijuana.
I believe I saw New Mexico.
That's the story I have, actually. There's also New Mexico, and they're moving much faster. Santa Fe, according to the Associated Press, Democratic Governor Bill Richardson poised to sign a bill making New Mexico the 12th state to legalize medical marijuana. Said Thursday he realizes his action could become an issue in the presidential race. But, he said, quote, "So what if it's risky? It's the right thing to do," said Richardson. Now, if we could only have more politicians making statements like that. You know what? It is the right thing to do. These are people that need help. These people that are sick, multiple sclerosis, AIDS, cancer, these people need as much assistance as they can have. And if a little plant can help them out, then they should be able to use it. And so congratulations to this guy. I'm not going to vote for him, but congratulations to him for at least taking this position. He said he's apparently one of the candidates in the crowded 2008 field. Quote, "What we're talking about is 160 people in deep pain. It only affects them. The legislation would create a program under which some patients, with a doctor's recommendation, could use marijuana provided by the state health department." Ugh. Yeah, well, it's a step in the right direction. I think we need to take the marijuana out of the hands of the government so people can actually purchase marijuana that's worthy of smoking. Because this government pot is just crap.
Well, you know, anything the government does, they're going to do it, you know, poorly. But, I mean, that's just what government does.
Right, and if you doubt that, then look at the...
Then tell me something they've done well.
Well, that's true, but even just on this one issue, it's already been proven that they can't even grow weed. I mean, this is the easiest stuff in the world to grow, and they can't even get this right. They screwed it up in Canada. Canada, a couple of years ago, had a program that they created where the government was going to dole out the marijuana. Didn't work out. All the marijuana smokers that tried it complained about it, and they went right back to their black market connections. At least California's got it right. We were there for the Radio on Records convention last week, and we met up with a good friend of mine, and he sort of gave us a little tour around town, that sort of thing. And basically, the way he put it was that these marijuana, not grow ops, but the distribution points, the compassion clinics, I believe they're called, they just keep popping up all over the place. And
pop up like weeds.
Right. Well, what they're doing is they pop up so fast that the DEA couldn't keep up with them if they wanted to, apparently. And once enough of them pop up, the DEA targets the biggest of them and takes them out. Some of them sort of get scared and they go underground for a little while, and then they just keep popping up again. And as a result of all this competition, as a result of the fact that these people don't have to get their marijuana from the government, there's a stunning variety of marijuana for sale in California.
Yeah, I would imagine there is.
Stunning. But the one thing that's shocking to me is that the prices haven't really dropped. And you'd think that after some partial legalization, which is what they have there, that there'd be some sort of drop in the prices. But I don't see that happening.
It's not really legal to grow it. It's only legal to
that's true.
To have it for medicinal purposes.
Well, you can grow. You can get permission from the government to grow, to sell to people that have prescriptions for medicinal purposes.
Now, that's the state government, not the federal government, right? The
state government.
Okay.
Right. So maybe it's that because the black market still exists to an extent, or there's enough demand.
How about this as a speculation? If I say grow in California, I can still take it across the border to Nevada or Oregon to sell there. So you know, I'm going to get the black market rates in Nevada or in Oregon, so therefore it drives up prices in California if they wish to have, you know, otherwise there'll be no supply.
And to be fair, I was getting quoted the black market rates. We couldn't go into one of the
prescription
stores because you actually have to have to show your prescription as you walk in. So we wouldn't be allowed. We wouldn't be allowed to walk in and browse around.
Aren't they really easy to get though? The marijuana cards in California.
So I hear. Yes.
That's what I hear from everyone I know who lives in California.
And to be fair, I think the prices there are a little bit lower in general. Like, you can't find bad weed in California. You really have to try very hard to find the bad stuff. So really, all the pot is really, really good. And then there's the best of the best pot that's for sale as well. And those are the prices I was being quoted. And you just can't even find that stuff anywhere else. So it's just amazing what that's done. Anyway, this guy, Bill Richardson, in New Mexico, legislation is going to create a government program where the patients can use government weed provided by the state health department. Lawmakers approved the bill Wednesday. The governor's expected to sign it in the next few weeks. So they're well on their way towards this.
Sounds like it. So that's going to be state number 12, right?
State number 12, correct. Richardson has supported the proposal since he first ran in 2002, but he pushed especially hard for it this year, leaning on some Democrats to change their votes after the bill initially failed. Which, you know, when you think about Republicans and Democrats, sort of the generic thought about Democrats is that they'd be more open to this sort of thing. But it's really surprising sometimes when you talk to some Democrats, and they're not even too sure about this whole legalization thing, let alone legalizing other drugs.
No, they don't know how they can benefit. That's the reason. They're a politician. They don't see any way to benefit, so why should they do it?
I just mean the rank and file. I'm not even talking about the politicians.
Yeah, that's just true.
So they're not even necessarily allies here. Give him credit. It's not something you would do because you're going to garner great political support for it. It is a bit controversial, said a political analyst at the Brookings Institution in Washington. By the same token, he says it's not likely to hurt him in the Democratic contest. Quote, if he were to surprise us all and actually win the Democratic nomination, he's got an interesting mix of positions. And then they go on to continue to analyze his political chances in the upcoming race. He says, quote, I don't see it as being a big issue. This is for medical purpose or medicinal purposes for the people that are suffering. My God, let's be reasonable, he said. Indeed, let's be reasonable.
I can't see what's unreasonable about it.
1-800-259-9231. Now, it's one thing for him to sign a bill that legalizes marijuana for medicinal purposes, but it's another thing entirely for a politician to come out and take the position of, you know what? We have states' rights. Of course, states don't actually have rights, but they believe that they do. We have states' rights, and you know what? We've had enough of you federal government thugs coming into our state, shutting down these people's access to the drug that they want. If another DEA agent sets foot here in the state and makes another arrest for marijuana, we're going to arrest you. That's what I'd like to see happen. That'd be true political courage. More on the way. This is Free Talk Live.
What is the secret of the sea? It's the exciting food from the sea, and it can be yours with Nature's Original Superfood from Wachter's. This excellent exclusive blend of Wachter's sea vegetation is bursting with over 65 trace minerals and vitamins. Our sea vegetation contains 40 times more nutrients than any land-grown vegetation. You would need almost 20 pounds of alfalfa, 10 pounds of spirulina, and 40 pounds of wheat to get the same nutritional value found in only 1 pound of Wachter's exclusive blend of sea plants. Over 75 years of experience has made Wachter's the leader in sea vegetation nutrition. Experience the benefits for yourself today. Call Wachter's today to order your bottle of sea vegetation. Join us on a business associate call to learn more at 800-682-7100. That's 800-682-7100. Or visit our website at wachters.com. That's W-A-C-H-T-E-R-S.com.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS or to the state? You are not alone. Nationwide Tax Relief is here, and we can get you a fresh start. I'm Richard Boggs, founder and CEO of one of the largest tax resolution firms in the country. If you're suffering from wage garnishments, bank levies, an audit, or unfiled tax returns, my staff of expert tax attorneys will step in, step up, and settle your tax debt. Do not fall for the scams that promise everyone some fast pennies on the dollar compromise. If you owe more than $20,000 in any IRS or state taxes, you've got a serious tax problem. So get serious. Call Nationwide Tax Relief. We're honest, and we'll treat you like family. Call us for your free confidential consultation. Again, you're not alone. You've got Nationwide.
Call Nationwide Tax Relief today at 1-800-958-2677. That's 1-800-958-2677.
Hello?
Hey, it's me. I got something, man, I want you to look at.
What? What is it now?
It's called OneYearToRetire.net. When you get home, I want you to go to OneYearToRetire.net.
Come on, you gotta be kidding. 1 year to retire. When are you gonna get it through your head that there is no quick fix? No free lunch?
I know. I agree with you. This isn't like that. It's an ingenious system that's designed to help you retire in 1 year. I was skeptical, too. But the system is free, and when I looked at it, I was sure it would work. What have you got to lose? It's free.
Well?
All you have to do is go to OneYearToRetire.net and get a free system. It only takes a minute. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Go to OneYearToRetire.net. That's OneYearToRetire.net. Or call 888-200-0265. That's 888-200-0265.
I love the new sandal styles, but before I discovered Nonix Nail Gel, I was too embarrassed about my toenails to wear them.
If your nails look dark or discolored, now there's a solution besides hiding them. It's a patented nail gel called Nonix. All-natural Nonix clears out the source of the problem, the dark or yellow material that builds up under nails called keratin debris.
Nonix Nail Gel is absolutely amazing. My toenails now look clear, and I'm not embarrassed to wear sandals anymore.
Nonix Nail Gel removes yellowing keratin debris, is podiatrist recommended, and has been clinically shown to improve nail clarity. It's also money-back guaranteed. You'll find Nonix Gel, spelled N-O-N-Y-X, in the foot care section at Rite Aid, Walgreens, Long's, Brooks, Duane Reade, and independent pharmacies nationwide, or online at drugstore.com. Nonix Nail Gel, for clearer nails and feet that look great in sandals.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Show, you take control of the airwaves toll free at 800-259-9231. The Packet 8.net toll free line for you, and it's Ian here with you.
And Julia.
And Mark.
You can join us online, freetalklive.com, the place to go. All the features there totally free, including live streams, the broadband version of the show, and a dial-up version as well. Both for free for you at freetalklive.com.
February's winner of the Lysander Spooner Award, Radicals for Capitalism, A Freewheeling History of the Modern American Libertarian Movement by Brian Daugherty, outlines both the history of libertarianism and its true influence yet to come. Check out this and many other books and videos on liberty at lfb.com. That's laissez-faire books, lfb.com.
You know, Mark, we've done a lot of shows in the history of Free Talk Live in the over 4 years that this show has been on the air.
I can only imagine how many.
We've probably talked about the war on drugs a decent percentage of the time. It's definitely one of my pet issues. And I'm just trying to recall, have we ever had someone call in and take an anti-marijuana position?
Anti-marijuana? Well, we've had people anti-drug. And then
yeah, but we've had anti-drug.
They're inclusive on with that.
Yeah, I suppose. But I don't really actually recall anybody. Normally when we talk about drug legalization, people will concede the marijuana issue. They'll say, oh, yeah, I can understand. I could see the marijuana thing.
A lot of people can see it.
That's true. But I just wonder if you remember anybody ever calling in to say, no, we can't legalize marijuana.
I would say that
it's an evil plant.
Especially when it comes to medical marijuana, you've got 85%, some number very high like that, of people in America believe that marijuana should be legal for medicinal purposes. And I'd say that other 15% are probably government bureaucrats and black marketeers that would like to see it illegal for their own personal gain. And, you know, this just goes to show you can't build a government bureaucracy without a lot of trouble tearing it back down. And we just don't need this.
Sure. I mean, look at the prison situation. Look at the huge number of people in government prisons, state, local, federal, that are in there for pot crimes, for having a joint in their ashtray, that sort of thing, for selling a little bit of marijuana.
Yep.
Look at this. Just a tremendous number of people that are in prison for that.
And I actually heard Sheriff Joe Arpaio from Maricopa County, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
I heard him on the radio this morning and just spouting off his usual crap about being the toughest sheriff in America, blah, blah.
I'm a rootin', tootin', straight shooting sheriff.
And so this is a guy who, he makes so many arrests that instead of letting anybody out of his jails, he just puts up tents in the desert.
Wow.
Yep, that's what he does.
Yep, he puts up tents and barbed wire or something like that, and he essentially is keeping prisoners outside.
Yeah, they're camping.
Yeah, the camping style. Huge tents. And it's just like, you know, okay, he's not getting millions of dollars to build new prisons, that much is true, and so he positions himself as this fiscally responsible sheriff, right? Because, well, I'm building these tents, and they only cost $150,000 compared to $10 million for a new prison, or whatever. I'm just pulling out
numbers. And how many communities across America are struggling with incarceration rates right now? You know, what are we need to build a new jail. Well, what if you just didn't arrest people for marijuana possession?
Yeah, that'd go a long way. How about we just not arrest people for drug possession, period?
I'm for that.
Prostitutes as well.
I'm for that, but, you know, I can, you know, let's start with this. Let's start with marijuana possession.
But that's just it. They already have their prisons, and they know that if they don't have as many people in those prisons, their budgets are going to go down. And so they've got a built-in incentive to fight against this.
Right, you know, and it's not like they're taking their own money when it comes to, you know, the police that are, the bureaucrats that are in charge of the prison little section, and they need to get money. They need to get it from the general fund.
Mm-hmm.
The politicians that control the general fund, well, it's not their money either. It's all taxpayers' money. And if they use up all the money, well, they'll just go ask for more. They'll put a, you know, they'll vote in a larger tax increase. So they'll ask the public for a larger tax increase. They'll trot out the
in
kids.
In many cases, they don't even have to ask.
Right. They'll trot out the kids and say, "We need it for our kids." And
in fact, I'm pretty sure
just like that.
Around here, they just approved a new jail. They didn't ask anybody on that.
Yeah.
And what I want to know is if they didn't arrest anyone for marijuana in Keene, for example, where we live, which is a really small town, who would they arrest? Who would they fill the new jail with?
Wow,
is
yeah,
there
right?
That many
crime?
Violent crime criminals in Keene, New Hampshire?
I can't imagine there's too many. I think that, I mean, whenever, this area is so small that whenever something does happen, you hear about it.
Right.
I mean, people normally talk about the weather and that sort of thing, so if somebody robs a store, and I remember it was a few weeks after we'd gotten here that somebody did actually rob one of the stores here, and we caught wind of it.
And there was also something with a college kid or something of that sort. Was it flashing somebody or exposing themselves to somebody, and everyone talked about that for a while.
Well, yeah, I think there's the occasional case of a college kid peeing on someone's front lawn.
Yeah, that's a bad idea.
Right. But yeah, that's an excellent question. What on earth would the police arrest people for? The occasional drunken disorderly? Maybe domestic abuse? But really, I mean, they'd actually have to protect people and do their jobs. They'd actually have to
be on the lookout
for real crime.
There wouldn't be as much work to be done.
We could cut some jobs, couldn't we?
Well, that's what they're concerned with, is they've grown the jobs in order to stop the drugs.
Right,
they
and
have
now
the
they're
war on
owed.
Drugs.
Now they're owed their jobs forever and ever.
You know,
pension.
But they failed. We have more drugs than ever. The police failed in their war on drugs.
And, of course, they use it as an excuse to continue the war. Well, the drug's still on the streets. We need to keep cracking down. It's just insanity.
That it is.
Do you support the war on drugs? Love to hear from you. Maybe you could convince me onto your side. Well, probably not, but it's possible. I'm convincible. 800-259-9231. As we shift gears into some territory we don't normally cover here on Free Talk Live, we don't normally talk about conspiracy theories.
Okay.
But
interesting.
Yeah, I think you might find this one interesting. From Websurdity. The article inspired by fine users at the James Randi Educational Foundation Forum, to whom I'm indebted for the use of much of this material. We've all heard the official conspiracy theory of the Death Star attack. We all know about Luke Skywalker and his ragtag bunch of rebels and how they mounted a foolhardy attack on the most powerful, well-defended battle station ever built. And we've all seen the video over and over and over of the one-in-a-million shot that resulted in a massive chain reaction that not just damaged, but completely obliterated that massive technological wonder. Now, you might see some parallels in this, sort of making fun of certain conspiracy theorists. Like many Americans, I was fed this story as I was growing up. But as I watched the video, I began to realize that all was not as it seemed. And the more I questioned the official story, the deeper into the rabbit hole I went. Presented here are some of the results of my soul-searching regarding this painful event. Like many citizens, I have many questions that I'd like answered. Was the mighty imperial government really too incompetent to prevent a handful of untrained nerf herders from destroying one of their most prized assets?
Whoever wrote this, it's sheer genius.
Or?
The nerf herders, I love that.
Are they hiding something from us? Who was really behind the attack, and why did they want the Death Star destroyed? No matter what the answers, we have a problem. Below is a summary of my book, Uncomfortable Questions, an Analysis of the Death Star Attack, which presents compelling evidence that we might all be victims of a fraud of immense proportions. Number 1. Why were a handful of rebel fighters able to penetrate the defenses of battle station that had the capability of destroying an entire planet, and the defenses to ward off several fleets of battleships? Number 2. Why did Grand Moff Tarkin refuse to deploy the station's large fleet of TIE fighters until it was too late? Was he acting on orders from someone not to shoot down the rebel attack force? If so, who and why?
Well, Grand Moff Tarkin did pay for it with his life.
Number 3. Why was the rebel pilot who supposedly destroyed the Death Star reported to be on the Death Star days, maybe hours, prior to its destruction? Why was he allowed
with a Wookiee?
Why was he allowed to escape, and why were several individuals dressed in stormtrooper uniforms seen helping him? Number 4. Why has there not been an investigation into the allegations that Darth Vader, the second-ranking member of the Imperial government, is in fact the father of the pilot who allegedly destroyed the Death Star? Number 5.
It's a compelling case, this man's
been. Why did Lord Vader... he's just asking questions, okay?
I'm making a compelling case.
1-800-259-9231. You can buy his book for $19.99. We'll give you a few more points on the way. 800-259-9231. And you can bring up whatever's on your mind, whether it's serious or fun. Anything goes. This is your show. It is Free Talk Live. Take control of the airwaves. Toll free, 800-259-9231. That is the Packet8.net toll free line.
Do you like to build things? Have you ever cut wood with a tool? Are you tired of poor quality goods found in the Megalomart? If you answered yes to any of these questions, WoodCraftPlans.com has a fun project for you to make. We have hundreds of blueprints and patterns which can help all skill levels of craftspeople make wooden lawn furniture, bedroom furniture, yard decor like wishing wells and shadow figures, rocking horses, and a lot more. Visit WoodCraftPlans.com today. Get a plan and start building. That's WoodCraftPlans.com.
There are many paths you can take in the pursuit of liberty. The fastest avenue to real political change is being paved by the Republican Liberty Caucus. Join Representatives Ron Paul, Jeff Flake, and dozens of state legislators in advancing the ideals of individual rights, limited government, and private enterprise within the GOP. The Republican Liberty Caucus, online at rlc.org. That's rlc.org. Your path to liberty.
Right now, 65% of Americans are overweight. Experts say by the year 2010, that number will increase to 75% and 35% will be obese. Because of these deadly statistics, Dr. Joel Wallach, host of Dead Doctors Don't Lie, has done extensive research and has found what he believes is the biggest breakthrough in weight loss in 50 years. It's called Slender FX. Slender FX opens the door for a healthy metabolism, permanent weight loss, reduction of low thyroid symptoms, and considerably increased energy by helping to balance your leptin levels. Finally, a weight loss breakthrough you can trust. Go to NoFatNow.com and discover the amazing benefits of Slender FX today. Take the 90-day challenge just in time for summer. If it's not everything we say and more, simply return the empty bottles and get your money back, guaranteed. Visit NoFatNow.com or call 800-972-8211. That's 800-972-8211. And for a limited time only, find out how you can get a free bottle of Slender FX by going to NoFatNow.com.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Ah, the sweet ping of wind chimes on your patio. Uh-oh, you're not on your patio, but in your car? Then there's nothing sweet about that ping. When I come back, we'll face the music. In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No.
The standard in car cover fabric is Block It by Kimberly-Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly-Clark's Block It fabric's got you covered. That's Block It by Kimberly-Clark. The ping of a grandfather clock may sound comforting, but coming from your engine, it's bad news. Pinging is an abnormal form of combustion in your engine cylinders that causes shock waves, which produce that metallic sound. Increasing the octane of gas to reduce pingings like taking cough drops for bronchitis. The symptoms mask, but the underlying problems and potential damage to sensors, emission systems, and even the onboard computer just increases. So heed that little ping before it becomes the gong of expensive repairs. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Oil is oil. Don't kid yourself. Technology makes better oils possible, like Royal Purple. Royal Purple reduces friction and increases film strength. Go to royalpurple.com and you'll find independent test results from North Carolina and Oklahoma State. Not hype, just facts. What's in it for you? Superior protection, fewer oil changes, more horsepower, torque, and better gas mileage. Find Royal Purple at Napa, O'Reilly's, your local high-performance center, and royalpurple.com today.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Your show's free money is toll-free. 800-259-9231. That is the packet 8.net. Free line for you. Ian here with you.
And Julia.
And Mark.
Join us online, freetalklive.com. All the features there totally free, though we do ask that you voluntarily support the show by buying some stuff from Amazon.freetalklive.com. 40 categories of products. Lots of different stuff that you can purchase. Everything from books to office products to sporting goods, accessories, clothing. It's all there. Groceries even now. Amazon.freetalklive.com. When you purchase through that link, Free Talk Live will get a percentage of your purchase. So it's a great way to get your shopping done, get the stuff you need delivered to your door. You don't even have to do more than lift a few fingers to get it done. So, well, you'll eventually have to pick up the box when UPS or FedEx, whatever, leaves it on your front door, but beyond that.
I don't know about you, but I'm pretty happy when I get boxes from UPS or
it's
FedEx.
It's fun to open boxes.
It is.
Like Christmas.
Yeah, except more fun.
And
anyway.
Paid for it.
Yeah. So, Amazon.freetalklive.com, and you can buy Free Talk Live branded merchandise from store.freetalklive.com. We've got shirts, we've got hats, we've got DVD Classic Archive collector sets, and more. It's all there for you. Store.freetalklive.com. So, back to the conspiracy theory about the Death Star. It's a summary of the book Uncomfortable Questions, an analysis of the Death Star attack from WebSertity.com. And he's sort of going through some interesting points, some questions that need to be asked about this whole Death Star explosion. Because, I mean, how could this possibly be that one band of rebel fighters and one man among them could possibly take out this weapon of destruction and doom?
We all just believed the story that we were given, and we had no reason to think elsewise, but there's a lot of interesting points that are being brought up here.
I'd say it was the story we've all been fed. Number 5. Why did Lord Vader decide to break all protocols and personally pilot a lightly armored TIE fighter? Conveniently, this placed Lord Vader outside of the Death Star when it was destroyed, where he was also conveniently able to escape from a large-sized rebel fleet that had just routed the Imperial forces. Why would Lord Vader, one of the highest-ranking members of the Imperial government, suddenly decide to fly away from the Death Star in the middle of a battle? Did he know something that the rest of the Imperial Navy didn't? Number 6. How could any pilot shoot a missile into a 2-meter-wide exhaust port, let alone a pilot with no formal training, one whose only claim to fame was his ability to bullseye womp rats on Tatooine? This shot, according to one pilot, would be impossible even for a computer. Yet according to additional evidence, the pilot who allegedly fired the missile turned off his targeting computer when he was supposedly firing the shot that destroyed the Death Star. Why have these discrepancies never been investigated, let alone explained? I call for a blue ribbon panel. We need people to look into this.
What he's failed to mention is this ragtag bunch. You know, this could the rabbit hole could go very deep here. The ragtag bunch didn't survive either.
Simply,
just the one.
Right.
Well, there's that other guy, too.
Biggs.
Yeah.
I say Luke Skywalker and Biggs in cahoots.
Hmm.
Biggs, all three movies.
Was that his name, Biggs?
B-I-G.
I think it was something else.
Man.
Started with a W, I think.
I may not be the preeminent Star Wars expert here, but I believe
you're definitely more of a Star Wars geek than I am.
Yeah, well, I'm
certainly
older.
More than me.
I've seen Star Wars. The earliest made movie. It's hard to describe them because
A New Hope.
The earliest made. Okay, Star Wars: A New Hope. That's the one I've seen the most.
Mm-hmm.
The other two that came after that, I haven't seen very often at all.
Those were better than the first one too, or A New Hope. They were better than A New Hope.
Were they?
Yeah.
Okay. And then
Biggs.
And really. Huh, okay. And then there was the other one, The Phantom Menace, which was terrible.
That was a kid's movie.
Yeah. Then the one after that was much better. And then the most recent one was pretty darn good as well.
Well, the reason it was a kid's movie, I have something to say on this issue, is Star Wars 1, 2, and 3, you see, in the first movie, a sort of childish, fun movie that stars a child, and then you see in the second one, you see a sort of petulant adolescent movie that just stars a petulant adolescent, and in the third is a much darker movie that the character turns, and you watch it all happen. I think that each one of the movies are perfect in and of themselves.
I liked the third one.
It was certainly an appropriate progression. I see where you're coming from on that, but nonetheless, Jar Jar Binks sure as hell ruined that first movie.
Yes.
Number seven. There are two more points. Why has there been no investigation into the evidence that the droids who provided the rebels with the Death Star plans were once owned by none other than Lord Vader himself and were found conveniently by the pilot who destroyed the Death Star and who is also believed to be Lord Vader's son? Evidence also shows that the droids were brought to one Ben Kenobi who, records indicate, was Darth Vader's teacher many years earlier. Are all these personal connections between the conspirators and a key figure in the Imperial government supposed to be a coincidence? Number eight. How could a single missile destroy a battle station?
I think somebody needs to be brought to justice on this.
Yeah, but how can you expect the Imperial government to bring themselves to justice, Mark? Come on. How could a single missile destroy a battle station?
At this point, they're not even able to. I mean, the Imperial government, dissolved after the sixth movie, pretty much. Pretty much out of commission.
Did you read the books after that? Weren't there books that took place?
There was a lot of books.
I've read some of the books, and that's really it. Is there's so many books, they're so contradictory that there's just so much stuff.
How could a single missile destroy a battle station the size of a moon? No records anywhere show that any battle station or capital ship has ever been destroyed by a single missile. Furthermore, analysis of the tape of the last moments of the Death Star show numerous small explosions along its surface prior to it exploding completely. Why does all evidence indicate that strategically placed explosives, not a single missile, is what destroyed the Death Star? From WebSertity.com. Very cute. 1-800-259-9231. That is the toll-free number. Some of our listeners are getting upset that we're not being serious enough on Free Talk Live. We need to be more serious all the time.
We, on a regular basis, we take Friday night off and do half absurd stories, half funny stories, and we do half serious stories.
Yeah, we don't always have to be serious on this show. In fact, I like things that are fun.
I would have to agree. Here's a news story that here's serious for you. Police arrest a 7-year-old boy, handcuff him, and haul him down to the station house on a charge of riding a motorized bike on a sidewalk.
That is serious. What?
I don't know if I'd call it serious. I mean, it doesn't
really... serious to that 7-year-old.
It is to him. Then, according to his mother, Gerard Mungo Jr. was handcuffed to a bench and interrogated before being released to his parents. Handcuffed a little boy to a bench.
Wow.
That's terrible.
They did. They scared me, said Gerard. that's what he told the Baltimore Examiner before breaking down into tears.
Aww.
Mayor Sheila Dixon apologized Friday for the arrest. The police commissioner, Leonard Hamm, said it would be investigated internally. The arrest came after...
Yes, I'll investigate this, but of course they won't do anything about it.
The arrest came after an officer saw Gerard riding his dirt bike on a sidewalk in East Baltimore on Tuesday. Police spokesman Matt Jablow said. Hamm, citing the internal probe, declined to discuss how the rest of the incident unfolded. Doesn't have to. We've got an internal probe going on.
Yep.
Sorry.
That's enough. What do you want more? What, you want more from us?
Kakeisha,
we're probing.
Kakeisha Dinkins said that her son was sitting on the bike with the motor off on the sidewalk when an officer grabbed him by the collar and pulled him off. I told him to let go of my baby, Dinkins said. Since when do you pull a 7-year-old child by his neck and drag him around? Dinkins said she called for a police supervisor to intervene, but the confrontation continued to escalate after the supervisor arrived.
Really?
They started yelling at him. Do you know what you did wrong, son? Dinkins said. He was so scared, he ran upstairs.
Police He's lucky they didn't tackle him or taser him.
Police arrested Gerard and confiscated the bike. Dinkins said officers fingerprinted him, took his mugshot. Ham could not confirm that and said that those actions would not have been normal in police procedure in a non-felony case. Dinkins said the arrest scared her son. This has changed his life,
sure it
she
has.
Said. He'll never be the same.
He sure as hell won't look at police the same way. I can
no.
guarantee that.
Yeah, I mean, are these the officers that he should be waving to? A 7-year-old. Try to imagine what life was like for you when you were 7.
It's hard to.
My big concern was staying upright on a bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
Ham said that the officer had the option of talking with the parent or confiscating the bike, and said that although the city is concerned about nuisance dirt bikes, the arrest was not consistent with my philosophy of trying to solve problems in the neighborhoods. The mayor, who appeared Friday with Ham, said that she also planned to look into the case. It's clear to me the arrest was wrong and the officers on the scene should not have arrested the child. And on behalf of the city of Baltimore, I apologize to the boy and his parents.
Well, now, wait a minute. Is it illegal to ride the motorbike on the sidewalk or not?
I'm sure it is.
So why is it that the law isn't being enforced in this case? Why is this mayor apologizing for the cops just doing their jobs? They're just doing their jobs here.
Well, because it's obvious that they're...
There's a criminal riding a bike on the sidewalk, and he needs to be punished.
Well, I don't know. Sounds crazy to me.
Maybe that's what they'll do if they legalize marijuana, is arrest some 7-year-olds, since they'll be so desperate for something to do. I don't know. 800-259-9231, sad story. War on the way, including a call from Death Star truther Brandon, coming up in hour 2. This is Free Talk Live.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Looking for profit? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low mintage collector coin with a total series mintage under $600,000 has sold at 4 times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.